All right, we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Thursday, September 5th, 2019. It is 7 o'clock. Ms. Hoffman, would you please call roll?
Councilmember Holcomb.
Here.
Councilmember Gibson.
Here.
Mayor Dewey.
Here.
Councilmember Vick.
Here.
And Councilmember Short.
Here.
Great, thank you. First item tonight is unfinished business, a discussion around the fiscal year 2020 preliminary budget. Mr. Gibson.
Mayor, maybe you could just, I had some calls when I was, you could just clarify for people what happened with the September 12th on the computer.
Sure.
Because at 2 o'clock there was an agenda, and then at 4:30 somebody went away.
Sure.
So I don't know. Oh, maybe you just want to explain.
Absolutely. Shortly, before noon this morning, or today, we were notified that meeting wasn't showing up on our website on the regular schedule. And so we looked at it, and in fact, it had been missing. We toyed with some of the settings. We were able to get it to show up by filtering the meetings out, and contacted MuniCode, who is our website host. They found a glitch in our meetings software. Meetings software posts everything to the website for us. They're independent systems, but they're integrated. And so meetings was having a challenge in posting that meeting to the agenda or to the schedule of meetings. So they've been messing with that for a majority of today, which probably explains intermittently why we've seen an agenda posted and then not posted and maybe posted again and not posted. The agenda that was posted today briefly was a draft version of the agenda. And because of these challenges, we're not able to get your council packet together for the 5 o'clock today deadline. So we'll finish putting that together this evening, depending on how quickly this meeting goes, and have that out to you in the morning so that that's ready to go. So agenda is pretty well put together. It's just uploading a lot of backup documentation into the system. So that's ready to go for your packet.
Okay.
So we are having a September 12th regularly scheduled council meeting.
So along with that, on the same, and on that agenda that while it was there, it said that you wanted to change the 26th to the 24th. Is that correct?
Correct. The administration is asking council to reschedule the regular meeting on Thursday, September 26th, and change that date to Tuesday, September 24th. Because the clerk and I will both be absent, we'll be out of town. And ordinarily, if I were gone, it wouldn't be an issue. If she were gone, it wouldn't be an issue. But since we're both gone and we do a lot of the work to pull the meeting together, help us out to move that date.
Okay.
So that's one item we'll ask you on the September 12th meeting. That meeting should be showing up as scheduled on the website now. It just doesn't have an agenda or packet associated with it yet. So we'll have that resolved in the morning.
Okay.
Any other questions from council regarding that glitch? Okay, appreciate your patience. MuniCode doesn't always fail us, but once in a while, we do see a challenge. Okay, back to unfinished business discussion on the fiscal year 2020 preliminary budget. Reason this is on tonight's agenda is to kind of hear some more feedback from the council in regards to the preliminary budget that was presented to you last week. Leading that meeting, Robert and I didn't necessarily feel that we got a good sense of the positives and other criticisms of the budget that the council would like to address. And so we're hoping to give you that opportunity tonight so that we can spend the next week before the September 12th meeting fine-tuning and addressing whatever it is that comes out of the budget discussion tonight. Mr. Gibson.
Well, a couple of is the same questions I've asked before. So by that next meeting, for example, if we could get the 19 budget and what was spent.
I can give it to you tonight.
Okay. And then the other part was it was hard to follow. You mentioned that it looked like the revenue estimates were $60,000 short of what you were asking to spend.
Okay.
And so
in the general fund.
Yeah. We could just have a summary of that.
Okay.
And then I just have a couple. And these are the same questions I asked before. With requests for the cars, could we have the mileage on the existing cars and then actually what it's going to cost to buy a car, including if they're police cars, obviously there'd be those little things on top and little things in the back and all that other stuff.
Flashy blue lights, yep.
Flashy blue lights in the cage and the spittoon. So we could get the, I mean, I don't think we can make a decision on buying cars unless we know
what their cost.
What it costs.
Sure.
And I also asked to do, if you could do a across the board 2% raise for everyone, and I guess everyone, meaning I guess if they, after their probationary, I don't know if they have a probationary period, is it 6 months, is it a year, do they have one? I don't
6 months.
So it wouldn't be included, if somebody was only here for a month, it wouldn't take
right.
effect.
It would prorate.
Yeah. It would be at 6 months. It wouldn't be back pay.
Right.
I think those are the two main things I asked, or three
sure.
main things I asked.
I think most of that we're prepared to address tonight, given the time frame, and then some other things we'll break down and try to give you some visual interpretation of that at the next meeting. We ran revenue and expenditure versus the budget versus actual reports, and some of these reports are still changing slightly as we reconcile and find where we are for the year. But last year, in ending June 30th, 2019, we brought in $2,375,584 in revenue.
So you're talking about 19?
We're talking, yeah, June 30 of 19. And that's total budget, all funds combined.
Can you give that to me?
Yep.
Sorry.
$2,375,584.
Was that the revenue or the actual budget that was?
That was actual revenue received.
So do you have what the actual budget was approved for 2019?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay. $2,276,731.
And then what was spent?
We spent $2,198,486.
Okay.
And the appropriation, or the budget,
mm-hmm.
was $3,209,319.
You spent $1 million less than what was there?
Correct. We spent 69% of what was appropriated. We brought in, our revenue over expenditures was, if you take the actual revenue received and subtract the expenditures, that's $177,098.
Do you know why there's so much money left?
A solid portion of that is money that we didn't spend out of, you mean how much, why we spent so much less out of our budget? We appropriated funds for the water storage project that weren't spent.
So you can carry that over?
Yep, we plan to. We received 104% revenue, so we over our revenue that we estimated revenue at one number. What we actually received was $98,854 over what we thought we'd get. So almost $100,000 extra in revenue we didn't anticipate. If you'd like, I can break that down to general fund. If
we
can
do that when we get into the budget, if you want. It's up to you.
I don't know. I mean, that's all funds combined. I know that we'd like to put some emphasis on the general fund. And so I can, since the numbers are here, I can tell you what we brought in for revenue in the general fund and what we spent in the general
okay.
fund. So we received $615, I'm going to round up with pennies, $615. We estimated our revenue at $655,009. So we brought in more revenue to the tune of $21,606, 103%.
And And then, you will have this year's revenue estimates versus what the spending is you're asking for.
Correct.
You don't have that now.
Oh, it's in here.
It is.
It's in the budget, yeah.
Okay. All right.
For expenditures, then, we spent $604,708. We budgeted $652,442. So we spent 93% of our budget, and underspent by $47,734.
Is that because of vacancies, or what? Is there any major driving force?
I think in large vacancies is what that surplus was made up of.
Mayor, I don't know how much it would be, but so in the 2020 budget, somebody's retiring, is that correct, this year?
Yes.
Do you know what the amount to pay that out is? Or do you have that in your budget, or did you plan for it?
It's not that much, because she's used up her vacation and sick leave, so that liability doesn't necessarily exist.
Okay.
Ordinarily, we would account for it. We've been caught off guard before with retirements, and we've had to put off hiring people because we've had to fund the liability.
Sure.
Are there any questions on fiscal year 19's overview there?
You made a comment at our last budget meeting that you were talking about a contract with Main Street Association. What are you thinking you're going to ask, and where is it going to come from?
So there's $10,000 in the Economic Development Fund, and that contract with Main Street, it will look entirely how the council wants it to look like.
So let me, I looked into this Economic Development Fund. And what I'm being told, that once that money's gone, it is hard to get money back in that. And the reason why we have this money is it no longer exists to even get it. This was back in the 70s when we got this money into economic development. And once this money's gone, it's hard to refurbish it. So I don't know how we're going to keep spending money out of that line item.
Well, we'd hope that economic development efforts, where that money is being spent, would bolster the tax base and help the general fund. I can't think of very many one-time economic development expenditures that wouldn't need constant funding. That's the purpose. Now, that fund has received funding outside of the leftover CDBG funds that it's received. At one time, a large transfer, not that many years ago, was pulled out of the general fund when the general fund saw a large surplus and moved into economic development. That's how that fund's been sustained in most recent history. Otherwise, that fund has strictly been an expenditure fund. It's not been a revenue fund. So there's not really a plan today to how that fund is replenished. Certainly, it would be within the rights of the council to task the Main Street Association, for example, if that's where the contract goes, to find a way to keep that fund moving and working for the town.
Isn't that the line item that the person that's watering their plants comes out of?
Yes. For Main Street Flowers, yeah.
Why? but they, if for 10,000, it must be more than that. Is that just for the water?
No. No, we don't spend that much. No, we don't spend that much on the flowers.
So what do they use the money for? Advertising or?
They can use the funding however the town tells them to use the funding. So this obviously hasn't been vetted at length, because I'm more interested in hearing if the council were to approve that budget and that line item, then we'd bring a contract forward to the council and hear what services do you want, what economic development services do you want to see in exchange for that funding.
Well, I guess I don't think we'll be, unless the other council, I don't think till next meeting we'll be making actual motions to approve, disapprove.
Right. No. Right now we're just setting that funding aside and saying this is earmarked funding for economic development purposes. It's certainly okay for the council to go out for competitive bid and say we're looking for an economic development agency to perform these services. This is what we'd like to see. And then, you know, if the Main Street Association puts in for that funding, fine. Or Reseda or any other organization that wants to take on those economic development tasks on behalf of the town. But we don't have the capacity in the current staff to drive economic development the way it probably needs to be done to help support general fund tax base.
Well, obviously, if something like that did happen, we would have to have some, what are they going to spend the money on?
Absolutely, yeah. And we have some previous contracts with Main Street as an example that we can pull and say, okay, what worked well with these, what didn't work well, what is the council's expectations going forward. We can put whatever strings we want on that funding, and I think that's appropriate to do. It is public funding,
and they are a not-for-profit.
They are. I was gonna, did you want, as we went through 2019, did you want to do the same exercise in 2020 as far as what,
I think
what we intend to spend total?
Yeah, I think what's going to be important, again, is to, and maybe I didn't define it specifically, is, and that's just common budget, what your revenue estimates are and what you're asking to spend. And obviously we can't, in my opinion, and some of these guidelines, we can't spend more than what we think we're going to take in. Correct?
There are some funds where we're spending down cash, naturally.
But yeah, I think we're going to have to break it down by, you know, the main areas, you know,
sure.
The general fund. I mean, of course, the raises are going to be important because that's general fund. The equipment requests, and then how, you know, I looked at that past audit and that whole thing in there about not spending this, the carryover, and
right,
all that. I think that needs to be addressed. I think at some point, and I don't want to get into that now, I think the count, you need to address what those findings were in that last audit. I think there were four of them.
Sure. And
it looked like three of them you didn't agree with, but one you did.
So the there was a finding in regard to cash balances being higher than the 50% appropriation. And in consulting with League of Cities and Towns and the Nevada County Economic Development Authority and Julie Foster in that organization, who helps support our TIF and TED districts. Specifically, one of those findings related to the TIF district, the Tax Increment Finance District. And what the auditors were saying was that you're holding too much funding in that fund and you aren't reflecting appropriations, that balance. Meaning our appropriations are low and our fund balance is high, and they don't want a fund balance of higher than 50% of what you're spending. If we're only spending $20,000 out of that fund, then in theory, the ending fund balance should not exceed $10,000, correct? Well, it's well more than that. It's closer to, $125,000, I think, is what's in that fund, and we're only spending $25,000, for example, in fiscal year 20. Our argument is that money is designed to work, and in regards to capital projects and infrastructure projects specifically. If we can't build up a reserve in that fund or a large balance of, say, $1.5 million for a, you know, $1.5 million project, maybe it's a sewer line upgrade or a streets upgrade or something like that. If we can't increase the fund balance so that we can pay cash for a project, then, I mean, that doesn't make sense. That's not how that money was designed. So that's our argument for why we disagreed with that fund.
Well, I guess, and I don't have it with me, I know that three of those, like you just explained on that first one, are a little complicated. But the last one didn't appear to be it didn't appear to be complicated to me, and I think you agreed with it. And that was a whole issue of not being able to give receipts for credit card expenditures and set a total something like, I don't know, 2,000 and something, I don't remember. I don't have it with me. But you didn't disagree with that finding?
So, no, we didn't, because there were receipts from fiscal years, from the end of 2017 and the beginning of 2018, meaning July 1 of 17 to June 30 of 18, there were receipts that could not be produced.
And why is that?
Largely
because they're on the electronic, right? I mean, your credit, you have receipts,
right? They gave us that finding because the finance officer at the time would keep record of monthly transactions. For example, we have a $15 Adobe subscription that gets charged to the card every month. She would include the receipt for that subscription at the beginning of the year and not attach it to every single Visa bill we received all 12 months out of the year. They wrote us up for that. They wanted that Adobe receipt attached to every single Visa bill, understanding they knew it was a recurring expense, but they wanted that Adobe receipt. We could produce the receipt, but they wanted that attached to the bill.
So did you give an action plan to fix that so it doesn't happen again?
Yes, we provide. So the finance officer has a record of all the receipts regular monthly charges. And he's working with department heads to make sure that the receipts for the credit card are turned in when it's checked back in. So we have a check-in, check-out process for the card.
So maybe next week, could we just have the action plan? How you
sure.
Address that? Because
yep.
Obviously, we don't want that to happen again.
No, we don't.
It just brings up, and it's not necessarily that somebody did something sneaky, but it just brings up red flags, and it doesn't do any good for the staff and us and everyone else. So the action plan would be important, how you're correcting it. And what, you know, rather than get into a long discussion now as to why this did appear that way.
Right.
I don't want to get into every credit card expenditure or any of that stuff.
And part of the action plan is also smaller receipts are copied, photocopied onto larger paper. What we found when they pulled the physical bills out of the files, and then they'd say, well, you're missing receipts. And the finance officer at the time said, no, I know that receipt exists because I saw the receipt when I coded the bill.
Well, it'd have to exist even electronically.
Well, yeah, you're right. But what we found when we went back to the boxes is the receipts were being paperclipped together onto the bill, and they weren't, when we were pulling them out for the auditors, some of the receipts were staying in the folders. And so we could produce those, and so the auditors did give us some leniency on that because we could produce the receipts. They were in the files. So now we're copying larger or smaller receipts onto larger paper and stapling instead of paper.
So do certain staff all use one credit card, or does like the police chief for gas have one credit card, you have a credit
sure.
card, you have a credit card, or is it one credit card?
So we have two cards
okay.
that are checked out to individuals. When it comes to fuel, each vehicle has a fleet card in it, so that card is just used for gas expenditures. So each vehicle is tied back to a card, and we can track who's using that card and for what mileage. And then the two credit cards are checked out of the finance department with a sign-in sheet. And the expectation is you bring the receipts back.
Yeah, I would just say next meeting, gives your action plan and whatever, and even on the other ones that you
right. And some of the other finding we disagreed with, which we also disagreed with the previous year and will continue, the legislature's making some changes to make it easier so that we don't necessarily have to disagree with that finding. But one of those is the Relief Association, and what they want us to do is actuarially determine the funding level of the relief and retirement pension for firefighters. And we've determined that if we were to actuarially fund it, it wouldn't be a reasonable funding, meaning it would overfund that fund and it wouldn't be prudent use of tax dollars to do so, because the reality, although it's actuarially funded, the reality is that based on the actuary, less firefighters will retire than what the actuary says. So that was, it's designed for much larger organizations. The legislature approved some lower general accounting standards for smaller organizations, which we hope will remove that finding in future audits. But until we either do an actuary, which is also an investment, because those cost us anywhere between $2,000 to $5,000 to do.
The legislature is going to do that, or they did do that?
Apparently they did it in the last session. We're waiting to see how that affects what they call Little Gap. Is there any feedback from council then on as to the, as we talked about the objectives of fiscal year 20 and the highlights as to what it is that we're trying to accomplish, is there anything in the opinion of the council that needs work? We understand that there's some desire for additional information.
Well, I think
we'll pull that together.
Until we actually get into this, the next meeting. I mean, I'm sure everybody has different ideas about different things in there, but I mean, there's probably going to be some places where no, some places yes. I don't think it's so much how what the goals or objectives are. It's a budget.
Right.
And we have to operate within the budget. And you know what we can do and what we can spend, and you know, whether it's three cars or one car, I don't know, until I find out how much they cost. That's for me personally. I'm not speaking
sure.
for anybody else. Same as the raises, you know, what does that cost? You know, the one that you presented and the one I'm asking the information on. Those types of things. I just think, personally, and I want other people's opinion. I think the next meeting, you know, other than, you know, we'll have to do claims. There's some things on that agenda that probably need to be on there. I think that's when we really start to actually do this budget. And I will have motions, you know, or whatever you want to call them, you know, to do this or that. And that's what I think the next two meetings, as you've stated, and because we're already two months into the fiscal year, it's important, I think, we get this done by the end of September. So we
yes.
don't get nailed again on something, mm-hmm. you know. So I think the next two meetings, that's probably what it's going to focus on. But I'm not in a position now to tell you, well, I like this one, I didn't like that one. You know, I don't think that's what it's about.
Sure. And we'd like as much of a preview tonight of what we can expect on the 12th that we can possibly attain from the council.
Well, right
so
now, I'll tell you right now,
I'm not
in favor of giving the building inspector a car.
Okay.
Because I think he can get mileage, and I don't think it's that much to it for the cost of a car.
Okay.
And again, I know I need to know the cost. I think you're asking for two police cars.
We are.
And we need to know the cost. And again, the raises are still out there.
Yeah.
As to which direction we're going to go.
Robert's pulling those numbers together, and Janelle's working on police car numbers for you.
Because the general fund, obviously, is very important.
Yeah.
And I think there will be some questions how this, some money can be moved and some money can't, correct?
Yes.
So that'll be one of the questions I have at the next meeting.
Okay.
And again, I have to.
Do you want to ask it now?
I don't have it with me.
Okay.
I wasn't even planning on being here. So.
What about the remaining council members? Is there anything that we can kind of get a jump start on over the next week, so that we're, my concern, and as I expressed it to you earlier, is my concern is we're, you know, we're a week from when we presented the budget originally, and we're pulling together the data that's been asked for at the last meeting. But I don't want to let the next week from between now and the 12th go by if we have an opportunity to get some work into the budget done, and prepare ourselves for the 12th, so that between the 12th and the 24th, I imagine we'll have another meeting. September is looking busy already. And so between the 12th and that next meeting, and between the 12th and the 24th, there's a lot of work that's got to be done depending on what actions you take in the budget, you know, to either remove or add or whatever modifications you desire in that budget. We got to make those changes before the 24th public hearing.
I think, so, go ahead.
I guess I'll be the bad person, but doing all my investigating like I did said at the last meeting, I honestly don't see, I can't justify giving you a pay raise of $39,000 a year. I mean, most mayors in small towns, you make more than most of the mayors in Montana, what I found. So I cannot justify giving you a raise of $39,000 a year.
Okay. Is there an acceptable amount?
Well, I think, Mayor, I think you'll pretty much have a pretty good idea after the next meeting, as you said, to do for the following meeting. I think you'll have, if, for me, you'll have a pretty good idea where I'm going. You know, I'm going to be very clear as to what, you know, after I get that other information, which I need, I can't really make any decisions now.
Sure.
I can't talk about cars without knowing how much they cost. I can't talk about general fund and salaries till I know what it actually costs. But I think after the next meeting, you'll have clear direction for the following meeting.
Sure, I understand, because I think your justification for some of the expenditures is hinged on where does the rest of the funding set. But it sounds like in Ms. Holcomb's case, in regards to the executive compensation, her concerns are more or less on the merits and justifying that position versus where the rest of the budget lies. And so that's why I asked the question. So what is an acceptable, what is an amount she can justify for executive compensation?
But again, I think that's the same thing. I mean, let's say that we come up that it looks like we're short a certain amount of money.
Sure.
From your original presentation of what you wanted to spend. Then we're going to have to make decisions where that money comes from. And that just... Yeah. Might be your salary.
That's just not what I heard from Ms. Holcomb. What I heard from Ms. Holcomb
was... Well, she said she doesn't support you getting $39,000.
Right, and so that's why I asked, then what number does she support? Because it sounds like it's independent of where the bottom line is. That's a question I think she has to answer.
Yeah, she can answer that question.
At this point, I think it needs to stay where it is. I mean, like I said, you're making more now, right now, than most of the mayors in Montana. I mean, you make more than the Billings mayor a month right now. So I think it needs to stay where it is. I mean, unfortunately, you knew what the pay was when you ran for this position. You knew what the hours were gonna be when you ran for this position. It has never, ever been a full-time position. And it will never be a full-time position.
And again, I guess what I don't know if it needs to be 10,000. I don't know if it needs to be 12,000. But in my own mind, it can't be based on an hourly rate and a full-time job. So I mean, I'm open to that discussion on the next agenda, which was on the agenda today, and then went hit somewhere. Was her proposal about rescinding the pay. And I think that would be the time to have that discussion because that is the budget.
Sure.
And again, I'm not sitting here today and saying it should be 5,000, 6,000, 7,000.
Right. No, I understand. Yeah.
Okay. But that's the discussion in the budget.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're here tonight to have a budget discussion, so as much information as we can get, the best.
Okay.
Who wants to go first?
Well, and there was another thing. Every year, we are always part of making the decisions on the budget. And I really would have liked to seen what the department heads wanted compared to what you took away from it. And we didn't see any of this. I mean, we just seen what you are going to give the department, but we didn't see anything what they were asking, because we usually would be the one going, maybe we need to discuss this. Maybe that you don't need that this year. But we didn't see any of this year. And I would have really liked to see what the department has wanted.
Okay. And it's available.
And I had that question last time. I guess I'll add that to my request. I would strongly recommend that next meeting, when we start going, the department heads are here. I mean, I need to talk to the chief of police about what he needs. I need to talk about the utilities. I've never met George. I heard he's a great guy.
He's over in the corner.
Right there. I need to talk to him. You know, I mean, I know that you've presented a lot of this, but these are the people that do that work every day. And they can explain, the chief of police can explain to me, I'm sure, why he needs a car or two cars, or why he needs an officer. And if he got an officer, when's that officer going to work? I don't think that's your role. That's his role. And if George, does he want another FTE or does he want a seasonal employee? I don't know. But he's the one that does the work day to day. And they need to be here to answer those questions. And that's what I would request the next meeting, to get into what you're talking about right now. You know, we need to talk to those people who do the work every day.
And they're here tonight for that purpose as well.
Well, I think we need to wait. I wasn't prepared to do the budget tonight. It says preliminary. You know, I can do it. If you want to start on something, if you want to start on your salary, I'm willing to start on it.
Well, I mean, earlier you indicated you weren't prepared.
I mean, wasn't, but you're trying to push me into like, well, let's do something now. I mean,
I'm only asking.
Are all the department heads here?
No.
Okay, that's my point.
Patrick, did you, before we jump around here?
Yeah, I'd like to resonate what Robin and what Steve said in regards to the information they're requesting. But in regards to compensation, your compensation, I do feel that in a time of need, you stepped up and served this town. I also feel throughout the years, mayors and council have chosen to take the salary up to $20,000, drop it down to $10,000. If the individual within the position says and can clearly outline for me what they're doing with that amount of time, I have no issue with increasing to what previous mayors have made in the past.
Okay, that's helpful.
That's the same input that I had with that Patrick just gave about the salary position. A couple other things I would like to see on there. Some of the park fees that you have proposed reduced down a little bit. I would also like to see that town citizens, since they're already paying for the park, not have to be charged for reservations and things like that, if possible. And we still need to work out the issue on the fund that you have set up for the park benches. As far as that, from my understanding from the last meeting, that's the park board that's in charge of that money.
The park board doesn't necessarily have appropriation authority, and I think that Robert can explain better the philosophy of why that funding is sitting there.
The funding, $75,000, sat there for a few years. Right. If we don't appropriate, we can't spend it. Doesn't say we have to spend it. But if they decide to do something this year, a year from now, at least less than a year from now, they come up and want to buy something at the park, they come up with a plan, first meet, then come up with a plan, then get it approved. The money's set aside there so they can spend it.
Okay.
If not, we have to go by the
Okay, that makes it better for me to understand then. I thought it was just going ahead and setting it aside to buy some new benches. So
that's the idea for them. And I mean, that was we said let's pick a project so we can at least associate a dollar amount with the project. Now, if the park board says no, we don't think that Creamery Park needs new benches. We'd rather see garbage cans at Lewis and Clark. We can change that. That's not a problem as long as the appropriation and the spending authority is in the budget.
Well, I have one more thing. I guess there's no secrets here, and I'll be right. I'm not in favor of, and I'll give some of my reasons why. People have all gotten their new appraisals from revenue for their property tax, and I would assume most people in this town, including myself, are going to get hit more property. We also passed, which I voted for, we passed a school bond, which is going to increase the property tax. Mm-hmm. And with my little knowledge, by going through this, because the first meeting, there was a proposal in November to increase the water rates by 3%. I think it's totally unnecessary, and I'm going to make a motion to decrease the water. Not the water bond, not that, but to decrease the water rates. I see there's money in reserves, and I know you need to do things, but I don't think this is a time to tax people more. And I don't really see a need, and 3% on a reduction in the water rates, I mean, maybe George could tell me, but I think that'd be like $2 when you're using the minimum, or $1.50.
$1.52.
Okay, and I don't think that's gonna hurt the town's budget. But I don't want to, you know, and we talk about, and we'll get into that when we get into the next agenda item about taxes. It was said by you, I think, at your first presentation that we weren't proposing to raise any taxes. And I think this lighting district is a tax. And again, we get into conversations about a tax and a fee. A fee is a tax. And let's be honest. You know, and again, I understand that there's certain things with inflation and problems and water and pipes and leakage and all that, you're probably going to need to spend more money. And there might be a need for the chief of police. I still don't know. But I'm not in favor of increasing any taxes or fees that are absolutely necessary unless by the next meeting, if somebody can show me why we really need to increase the water rates, I'll listen. I don't see a need. If anything, I think we should reduce the water rates.
Okay.
So I can ask the challenge.
Yeah, we can have that water rates information available. In fact, HDR has provided a nice graph to show what fund balances will do based on how you adjust rates.
And for whatever reason, I know you had the bond, you're one of the highest water rates in the state.
Yeah.
It's the highest I've ever paid.
And over half of it's bond payment.
And I've lived in Helena, I've lived in Miles City, and I've lived way back in Missoula. I couldn't say that for Missoula now.
No.
But when I moved here and saw that minimum, I thought, what? I mean, two senior people like my wife and I never hit the minimum in the winter. Of course, I do in the summer, because I avoid. I do in the summer because I water the lawn. But I don't even hit the minimum.
Sure.
And I pay the minimum. So, yeah, okay. That's one thing I want to look at.
And to be clear, we're not, this, but the budget includes a water increase, mm-hmm. excuse me, a water and sewer increase. It's not something we're asking for because it was already implemented 5 years ago. So 5 years ago, the council adopted a staggered increase system, and this increase in November is the last of those five increases.
Now we can rescind it.
Sure. I mean, that's completely the council's decision. The administration will do what it can to make sure you make the most informed decision.
Honestly,
you can.
Barry, you know. I mean, whether you're on Medicare, whether you have a supplemental, you can argue. I mean, my health care went up again. I'm on Medicare. My supplemental went up. My pharmacy is going up. My property taxes are going up. You know, my garbage will probably go up, who knows, you know. But what we can do for the people of Stephensville, if we don't need to do it, let's not do it. Just because it was, you know. I need to be convinced why we need an increase in water rates. When I go through these things and see all these reserves and this money, and I know you can't touch the bond. I'm talking about the water rate, the rate that everybody gets charged at minimum of like $83 a month. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, that $83 a month includes the bonds.
Half
of that is
half is a
you
bond.
You pay
let's do half that isn't a bond and you'll save a buck.
You pay roughly $13 for water.
I looked at my bill today.
Sewer, so.
I want to reduce the water fees.
Okay. Noted. Just water, you're not looking at sewer reduction?
If it's in the bond, I don't think we can. But yeah.
Because the increase in November is both water O&M and sewer O&M. Doesn't touch the bonds, but the water and sewer operating and maintenance are what will increase. And that's why the increases are so small.
Thank you. I want to do them both. But again, that'll be the next meeting. I need to ask George those questions, and I'm not prepared to do that.
Sure. Okay. What else? Anything else? I just mentioned, since we're on the topic, part of the, well, a good portion of the water fund reserve was the $60,000 a year that we're setting aside for the water storage project. So the rates were structured that way in order to set that aside. That's why you see, you do see a reserve in that fund.
It's building and building and
building. It's building, and now we're spending it down. We will see peaks of reserves where we see high fund balances in the water fund and low balances.
Maybe we wait 20 years, we can have a water tank like New York City.
I haven't seen that. Is it big?
It'd be big, yeah.
Okay. Any other discussion from council on the fiscal year 20 preliminary budget? Right. Is there any clarification you'd like to hear about? Or is there anything you'd like to share before we...
If you guys have any other questions or you want answered, just let us know. Don't wait for the meeting because we can research it. What will happen if we come to the next meeting and we'll be in the same place without the answers to before. So if you get it, just give it to us and we'll get it. But if I have got some of the answers, it's just that talk back when we come to the next meeting. We'll be in the same place.
Okay. Great. All right, well, I appreciate your participation in at least that much of the budget conversation. It does at least give the administration a leg up into being prepared for the 12th. I anticipate the 12th will be a plenty long meeting. Are you guys opposed to holding it earlier in the day than 7?
I'm not, but could you come be at 6? If the public was noticed, is that okay?
Now's the time to make that call. Because we haven't published the agenda yet. We have, but we haven't, so.
You know, maybe we could wait on that till we hear public comment, and I would ask people in the public, because I've seen a lot of you, a lot of you are regular attendees, to ask you that question. Would that be a burden for you, or would you be able to come at 6 instead of 7? Because my only concern would be the public.
Sure, and we could, in fact, structure the agenda as such that we get a majority of the light business done at the beginning of in the first hour of the meeting and then get into the budget at 7. We can certainly structure it that way if that's a concern of making sure we have public input. So under the public comment section, we'll allow folks to chime in on that, and then before we adjourn, we'll make a decision as to whether that's the direction we're going to move or not.
Maybe that night too, and I could donate. We could have coffee.
Well, we can make coffee every night if you want.
Well, I think maybe that night we might need some.
Okay.
Or maybe a shot.
Pre-function. All right, we'll move on to new business. Item A, discussion decision, approval of mill levies and lighting district assessments for fiscal year 2020. Mill levies are not before you tonight. Mill levies, it was on this agenda, but after we further researched it, mill levies you don't approve until after you've approved the budget. Which won't happen until the end of the month. However, lighting district assessments, it's been quite some time since the resolution for lighting district assessments has come before the council. In fact, the last resolution we can readily find was 2012, or shortly thereafter. So, before you tonight is lighting district assessments. Robert, would you mind explaining how we arrived at these assessments and kind of the nuts and bolts of how this works?
Definitely. We have five line measures. So I took the balance of last fiscal year, and then I took the expenses for that each one of those districts, which is basically the power bill, and they're broken out by those districts on a power bill. And then I did a 3% increase for the cost of power and made sure we had a 25% reserve. So it's a mathematical formula. Then I took the balance we had versus what we need, and that gave me plus and minus in each fund. So two of the funds have enough to sustain another year without an increase, without anything. Two funds are going down. They have a lot of funds in there, but one of them has to go up, just based on the amount of electricity they use, to make sure we have a 25% reserve and a 3% increase.
Can you explain the rationale behind the reserve?
Well, the reserve is because, once again, some people don't pay their taxes. That's just the way it is. It comes out on a tax bill. They pay in late, they pay in whatever, so we have to have a reserve in that fund to make sure we have meet the obligations.
Yeah, I do have some questions for you, Robert.
Okay, yeah.
So, why are some determined by lot and some are determined by square footage?
They go back when they set up the district.
Okay. So then my other question, because I talked to you yesterday,
yeah,
and what you told me about Creekside, obviously, this is less. You told me that, like, some would double, but 3% wouldn't be a double.
Okay, last year they at Creekside, they levied $1,400.
So what is a 3% increase?
The 3% increase is the cost of the electricity going up.
But how much is that?
$3,200.
You can look up my house, just don't tell people where I live. You told me yesterday that mine would double in Creekside.
Yeah, it's about $20.
Well, that's more than 3%.
That's the 3%, okay, the 3% is the cost, based on the cost of electricity. Here's what we paid last year, 3% this year. Now, the formula to get to the end is what's in the fund now, which is we have a low amount in that fund, the cost at 3%, make sure we have 25% reserve, gives us the need. Okay, that's the mathematical formula. Cost, 3% increase on the electricity, and 25% reserve gives us the need. Then I take your old fund balance on that fund, subtract it, gives me what we need to have in that fund again, or what we need to assess for.
Okay, so then along with revenue estimates, and I'm just going to talk about, I don't know anything about Peterson, and I see there's two others that don't have any increase. I don't know anything about them. But I know that Twin Creeks, just in the last year, there are a number of new homes there, quite a bit. I know in Creekside, there, just since I've lived there, there's probably been 9. So the lighting district, and I'm not an expert on lighting districts, but that's those light poles on my street, correct? Okay, so now you've got all these people that now are going to be paying revenue for the lighting district that didn't exist before. And the cost of electricity for those light poles isn't going to go up that much. I mean, my utility bill, my electricity has gone up, has gone down, the rate thing, whatever. So I guess what my point is, especially with Twin Creeks and Creekside, there's so many new residents that are going to add revenue to pay for the same light pole. So I don't understand why there needs to be this increase.
It's not determined on the number of residents, whether a house is built or not. Whoever's paying the property taxes for that lot is paying the assessment.
So even before the house was built?
Even before the house was built. For example, before anything was in Twin Creeks, Missoula Federal Credit Union was paying a large share of the Twin Creeks Lighting District bill because that was on their tax bill for those lots.
So what would happen if we didn't increase it by 3%?
If we don't increase by 3% down, if we get run short, we don't have the money to pay the lights.
So what's that?
We don't have the money to pay the lights.
There's no money, like you move from other places to do that?
No, not any funds.
We can't use other funds to pay the lighting district bills for these districts, because these districts have boundaries and lines. just like we can't take money out of the George Smith Lighting District and move it into the Dayton Lighting District to cover their bills. Those property owners pay into that district.
You know, I'm obviously not an expert on lighting districts, but I guess just for, and I had a talk with one of my neighbors, and when you say, for example, and I assume that's a year, I hope.
Yeah.
But when you say it's going from $20 to $40, that doesn't come out to 3% to me.
That's not the math.
It's because you're catching up your 20. So right now, Creekside Lighting District has less than a 25% reserve because we spent down too far. And so in order to catch it back up to 25%, your assessment's increasing until we can put the 25% reserve in place. And then you may see it go drop down again, depending on what the price of electricity does.
Well, the chief of police gets another car. Maybe they can work nights and you can turn on the lights.
Well, we can. We do. We can anticipate that eventually Northwestern Energy may reduce, the bill for these lighting districts. They're not metered. They're usually by the fixture.
Right.
They're working their way through the state to replace these fixtures with LED fixtures.
So this is the last year. So after of this
assessment.
So this 3% that you're proposing.
I think he's mixing. The water bonds with the light district.
Yeah, I'm not talking about water bonds. How long does this last?
We look at it every year.
So it's every year.
Yeah, it's every year.
Okay.
The bill for electricity for those lights. Now, next year, some of these aren't going to get assessed any because they have, in the years past, they have built up more funds.
Right.
So now we're trying to level it out so each year you pay exactly what the electricity paid. Now, next year, if we come to a point where we pay less electricity, that will go down.
Well, I guess, and then I'll be done. I want other people to talk. Where I'm at now, and this wouldn't be retro, we're already in this fiscal year, so when would this start?
Your November tax bill.
So we have November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, correct? Till you do it next year. 8 months.
It's based off 12 months of usage.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, because it shows up in your November bill, but we base the bills off of July 1 to June 30, so your November tax bill and your June tax bill or what these assessments cover.
Well, I'm just going to say right now, as I said earlier, we talked last meeting about no new taxes. This is a tax. I'm going to be opposed to it. That's me.
Sure.
But I would say come up with a solution. You know, and give us some feedback. If you say, how do we pay these electric?
I'll say, okay, you want to say 1%?
And I think we can have that comment. We are seeking the council to adopt some sort of rate tonight for these three districts. And so, I mean, if the council decides that 25% is too much of a reserve, we can reduce that amount and make the assessments reflect. So, if you think that 3% of an increase in power is too generous of an estimate, we can modify that and change the formulas to get the right assessment amount.
I mean, all I'm saying is, however you want to do the math is fine. But doubling somebody's rate, you can call it 3%, you can call this whatever. I don't think that's the way to go. So yeah, if we can reduce that so it's not doubled, I'd be in favor of that. I'm not in favor of this, folks. That's all I'm saying.
For that particular lighting district, they have the lowest fund balance right now.
Huh?
So they have the lowest fund balance. Right now they have only $1,500 in that fund. The cost for this last year, last fiscal year, was $3,194. So they needed, you know, if you wanted a 25% reserve, 3%, they need $4,112.
So how did that happen?
I can't tell you.
So nobody's done anything nobody's done anything with this lighting district for?
No, last year they were assessed $1,400.
So the rates didn't go up?
They were assessed $1,400.
Excuse me?
They were assessed $1,400.
So the people didn't go up?
Get us up to where we need to be, $2,800.
I don't know what they were previous to 24 or to that.
So example, Twin Creeks, last year they were assessed $7,800. This year it's $3,000. going down just by the math, because we don't need that. They have 4,700 in their fund.
And the fund balances is what got us in trouble on the audit, is because we were carrying such a high fund balance in the lighting districts, and the auditor said, why are you carrying that high of a reserve? You don't need that much money for a lighting district, unless you're going to make some sort of capital improvements in the districts, which is an option. If there were certain districts that wanted to see more lights installed, we could spend down some of those balances to add the number of lights to the district. But what that does is it just increases the costs of the district on an annual basis.
So does this have to be done today?
Yes. But we can, I mean, we can very easily modify the numbers in the resolution so that whatever you adopt tonight.
Well, I'm only one person. I haven't heard from anybody else.
Can I ask what the repercussions are of dropping it to 1%? What would be the repercussions? What is going to happen to the reserve fund? Is it possible that we not get enough money in the reserve fund so people get all of a sudden get a larger bill?
Well, if you drop it to 1%, I mean, I personally think we can cover it, mm-hmm. but that relies on the people to pay their taxes on that. Mm-hmm. So historically, there's always been a 25% reserve, which is kind of standard. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go for less, we can gamble.
Well, I would assume
that's what it is.
I don't care if anyone.
But I'm just trying to be prudent on
what I understand that. And I guess my point is, at what is the lowest percentage we can have to make sure there's an appropriate safety net?
I put it out there at 3%. I mean, I'll take.
And that's your recommendation?
That's my recommendation, yeah.
Got it.
Well, I think all the people in Creekside pay their taxes.
We hope everybody pays their taxes. Further discussion amongst the council on.
Unless
on
you want to redo, I'm not going to be. I'm not going to vote. That's just me. I'm not going to vote for the 3%.
Okay.
Good. Is there any way that you could show us what it would be? How much more or how much less you would get if it was 1% or 2%?
Well, it's okay. Any one of those. Okay, let's do Creekside. So 1% is what?
$31, $32, okay. Instead of 40,
there it. Do you want to go get your spreadsheet, Robert,
on
Excel?
I'll write you a number real quick.
If you want to put your spreadsheet on a thumb drive and stick it in this computer and do it live on the screen, you're welcome to.
Okay, let me get that.
Or if you want to just punch it in and print it, you can.
Well, exactly.
It would help us if we could see and not, you know, try to figure it. Okay, I am a baker, but you know. It's just amazing how much electricity one pole makes at Peterson. One pole. That
well,
we have on
well, what's happening? I'm sure when you get your utility bill, the rates, the delivery rates. Like, for example, electricity have gone down, they go up. I mean, natural gas has gone way down.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as far as the rates, especially for now, they've gone down. You know, they haven't gone. And electricity, you know, varies. It goes up, it goes down. It goes up, but it's not a constant going up. You can see that right on your utility bill. It's that delivery rate that drives it. So, I'm not convinced that a year from now, that
the rates will be. You're questioning that whether or not the rates will be 3% higher.
It might be lower
in a year than they are now.
Yeah. Right. And they might be higher. I don't know.
Right.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Is there any way we can take a short recess so everyone can stretch their legs and whatnot?
10 minutes.
Sure. We'll take a quick 10-minute recess and let Robert run some numbers. We'll reconvene at 8:15. No public hearing is required to adopt lighting assessments.
So why does it need to be done today?
Because the county needs to be able to put those numbers on the tax bills.
Okay.
And it's their deadline. We thought, based on the information the county gave us, when they requested the information. They said, we need your lighting district assessments. And we said, okay, here you go. They came back and said, well, no, where's the resolution? And we're like, what do you mean, what resolution?
Each one of these is a different time or year when they get reassessed, because we're only talking about, we're talking about every one of them?
Every district? So every, well, they all of these districts, depending on where you live, is where whether you fall into district or not.
Yeah.
And so, at one time, we approve all of these districts. Because we're only seeking...
all due.
They're all due, all of the, and it's not just lighting districts. Sewer and water districts have to do the same thing.
Is this
fire districts? Yes.
Okay, because I don't recall any other council meeting where this was...
I don't believe... last year we spent down some assessments, and so the assessments were less. And I think they were built into the budget in a different way. I think the county just took it at face value last year. We didn't realize a resolution was required to do this. But the county this year is on their toes and said, no, where's the resolution?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
John Grove.
Hi, John. How are you today?
Good.
Hey, let me come around the other side of the table.
I appreciate the pressure that you're under. My wife and I have John Grove and I have a
I appreciate it.
I just got to know.
How's everybody doing?
Just doing okay. Who's the person that has the mustache who's all the top?
This gentleman here?
Yeah.
Who is he?
Yeah. What's his name?
He's in the first ward. Ward 1.
It's over there.
You're on the second. There's just two wards, so you're in the second. You're on Turner and Smith. Just on Turner from outside.
333 there.
Yeah. Yep, we're at the other end of the block. Well, hey, thanks for coming to a meeting.
Yeah, I just wanted to see what it was like. You read the paper and the turmoil and so forth. And Woodward and I are concerned about the library. I guess you'd say the turmoil of the council has been.
Hopefully that's behind us.
Yeah, hopefully it will get better, you know, but I'm not sure about that. Gibson is here. Has he been here long? Or?
He's been here about 2 years. Just that.
2 years ago.
He's
from where?
No. He's in the state legislature.
Okay, well, thanks.
Absolutely. Take care. So we you can get in. I Town Council meeting after a 15-minute recess. Finance officer has adjusted The lighting district percentage increases based on what we thought expenditures would do in the district. So I'll let Robert explain what's on the screen.
Okay, here's right here you got the 3%, the 2%, and the 1%. And it changes the amount that we would have to levy right here in the county. So bottom line, if you drop 1%, it goes down to $50 from what the ones we were basically assessing. And I can show you what that does to someone's bill, what we're talking about. We're talking a dollar, the difference. Even if we go down to 25%, I'm going to show you what we're arguing over here, okay? It's not arguing where we're sitting at, what it looks like. Okay, so when you pull up someone's bill, right now I recommended that we stay at, you said $2,800 for this lighting, right? $3,809 per person, okay? If we go down to 1% and 25% reserve, we're at 52550. Goes down a dollar. That's the difference. So if you want to lower it to 1%, take a gamble, the prices don't go up, or want to lower the reserve 5%, take a gamble, you can go lower. It's your decision, but you know, prudent financial practice studies give up 25% reserve in the fund. You can see the fund balances. We're not talking a lot of money in the fund balances. Okay. There's your reserve. Each one of them put 900, 670, 1,000. That's the reserve in the balance to pay the bill for the year.
Okay.
So what is the deal with Dayton and the other one that doesn't get any increase?
Well, here, see, simple. See, these two right here, they already have a high fund balance. So they already paid their dues. That's the best way to explain it.
And why did that happen?
I don't know. I wasn't here. I mean, this is, as long as the lighting district's been here, this type of assessment's going to go on. They weren't assessed last year either. Notice that. They paid a high bill up front. Okay.
So historically, so there's a subdivision,
yeah.
And you have whatever you call, you know, whether it's for the sidewalks, whatever, that usually is paid off for 20 years,
yep.
Correct?
Yep.
But this is different.
This is
electrical. Like Greeside was developed
this,
in
this 2004. This is the electrical bill that they paid.
But they were developed in 2004.
Yeah. So we're not paying for the poles right now. That's all pot and paper. This is the exact expense for the electricity used in those lighting districts. Nothing fancy with that.
And any maintenance costs that are associated, meaning if we need to replace a light fixture or something like that, that would add on as well. Discussion from council. How would they like to see the assessments?
Wouldn't Northwest Energy be replacing those light fixtures? Not the town?
They maintain them, but the town owns them. Hence why we pay the bill for them.
Robert, I totally trust your numbers. You're the expert here for the numbers. But I'm also a little follower. Are we allowed to vote on this before the budget is passed?
These assessments, yes. You're establishing these assessments, and these are fixed costs we'll put into the budget. You're not approving mill levies tonight because the budget hasn't been adopted yet.
Okay, so we're not approving mill levies because the budget.
You're not approving mill levies. We're only asking you to approve lighting district assessments.
Lighting district assessments, and we're doing that based on percentage.
We're doing it based on either a 1, 2, or 3%. Right now, it's written 3%. We're asking for the assessment to be based on a 3% increase in electricity bills over the next year.
And the next time we'll sit down and reassess this will be a year from now.
Yeah. We'll go for like 11 months from now instead of 12.
Yeah. That makes
it a little tight. And this was, I think in the last couple of years, these assessments have just been sent over to the county and the county just took them for what they were. And then this year when we met the deadline of getting the assessments to the county, and then they came back and said, well, where's the resolution that goes with it? And we had to go back into some older records to find a resolution to change. Any further discussion? I guess the question to the council would be, are you willing to approve Resolution 448 with the assessments at 3% as it stands, or do we need to make a modification to those assessment numbers prior to adoption?
I'm voting no. I've already said that.
I understand.
Not one person.
Yeah. I mean, if the council, the majority of the council, agrees with the numbers as they're presented, then I'd entertain a motion to approve Resolution 448, adopting
Robert,
Biden
can you
district.
Scroll down a little bit so I can see Twin Creek for 1%?
Instead of 25, but I put a 20% reserve in there. So that's where I got that 2,550 number. Okay, it changes the bill by a dollar.
The individual so property.
The individual property bill by a dollar. So we're about, for the year, we're not.
A dollar per year.
Yeah, we're not moving a lot of money here. We're just saying what reserve we want to have and what increase we.
And that dollars throughout the course of the year at 3%, correct?
Yeah, that's with the that bottom line with the 20% reserve and 1% increase is a dollar difference than what we were proposing. So we go down to the lowest amount to dollar. So it's divide that up is what 10, you know, that's 10 cents per month. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean that's kind of what we're fighting over here.
Sure.
I just want to make it clear. I guess I'm not for these taxes, and I don't think we need it. But we get confused about 3% or whatever. I mean, I ran it on a property. It doubles. It goes from $20 to $40. That's what it does. That's what you told me.
I know, but you're confusing the number. 3% is the increase in the bill for the whole lending district. You have to take in what you, if it was your own checking account, okay, you have this much money. This is how much my bill is. I need to raise this much money to pay for it.
Okay, but you're this much? You're going to pay
from the beginning fund balance to the end fund balance, that's the increase. They have nothing to do with the 3%, except for increase the cost of your bill. So the fact that lighting district is starting out $1,500. We can't fix that. That's where they're at. Okay. The other districts already paid in other calculations throughout the years a different amount. So if you look at two of them are going to next year. Two of them are going to be have to be assessed. They're all going to be assessed next year because we will be even going into next year, and so the bill will be the bill. We'll already have a reserve built in there, and so they'll in a sense. Two people, two districts are going to be mad because, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to pay what happens. No, you've overpaid your bill. Now
you've got to break for a while, and now we're back on the. And once those reserves and all of the funds stabilize, meaning that they catch up or fall down to the 25%, then the only increase we should see is that 3% or whatever percent increase.
And you know, if you could really look what you're doing is the balance is actually the reserve. We're actually lowering the reserve. We're going from one, say that $1,300 from peak time, we're taking it down to 800. So we're actually lowering it down already to make 25% where we don't get nailed like we did on the other.
So if we wanted to maintain that $1,300 balance in that fund and end the fiscal year of 6/30/20 with that $1,300 in there, the assessment would actually be higher than it is now.
Oh, yeah.
How would the council like to proceed? You have before you tonight Resolution 448, which adopts assessments for lighting districts for Twin Creeks, Creekside, and Peterson. Twin Creeks assessment at the 3% utility increase and the 25% reserve, their assessment in Twig Creeks will be $3,000 assessed equally per lot. Creekside will be $2,800 based on the percentage of lot square footage, and Peterson will pay $1,200 based on the percentage of lot square footage. That's how they divide that assessment. Is council comfortable with the assessments as they're provided?
I think you have to have a motion to pass this.
Okay, I'd entertain a motion then from council to adopt resolution 448 adopting lighting district assessments for fiscal year 2020. Is there a motion?
I am for it because I'm staring at professionals that prepare information for us for the better of the community, and I am acting in good faith that the individuals that prepare this information for me to approve or disapprove have the public's best interest in mind. So I would like to make a motion to approve.
And before, I'm not denying that what you just said.
Sure.
I'm just not for the taxes.
I understand.
I second the motion.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to approve resolution 448 adopting lighting district assessments for fiscal year 2020. Further discussion from council? All right, public comment on the motion. Yes, sir.
What about putting LED lights?
No.
So,
would that save a heck of a lot of money?
That's on the schedule for Northwestern Energy to replace the LED light, to replace the current fixtures with LEDs. We don't know how that will affect utility bills, though. We pay per fixture. Hopefully they go down. Correct. And we're allowing Northwestern to replace those fixtures versus us requesting those changes, because if we request those changes, we'll have to pay for those fixture changes, which would increase assessments. And so we'd prefer that Northwestern take it upon themselves to change those fixtures out. And they're working throughout the state right now. You'll see some communities have already seen LED upgrades, and we hope they get here soon. So, thank you for the question. Could you state your name and address for the record?
James Little, Post Office Box 593, Stevensville. Okay.
Thank you. Ms. Barker.
Stacey Barker, 104 Winslet. I guess now this is being brought up with the possibility of LED lights getting changed into this, but yet we're looking at up in some of the rates. Why can't we go back and amend this later on down the road instead of doing the increase? You just said that there's a possibility of them coming in and changing those, which we know as in our own homes, that does help our power go down. And so
we anticipate a reduction in cost, but we don't know what that reduction will be until the power company comes in and actually does those fixtures, and we don't know what the timeline looks like of when those replacements will happen.
I guess I just see it as, you know, I think it's something that maybe can be held off a little. We've gone this far with holding it off.
When we spoke with Northwestern Energy a year ago about the LED outfits across the state, their schedule looked like they were trying to transition everyone over in about a 5-year period. We don't know where we fall into that 5 years. They're going through communities based on who has the most lights to those who have the least amount of lights. And so, for example, Billings has already been completed. But that's how they're coming through communities, is they're doing those with a lot of lights and the larger markets, and coming in with smaller markets. That's the information they've been providing us. Further public comment, resolution to approve lighting assessments. Mr. Monk.
John Monk, 401 Central. you have five lighting districts up there, but you're really working only with three, right?
Correct. We're only assessing three. Two are not seeing any new assessments this year. Ms. Rodebaugh.
Are you doing 1%, 2%, or 3%?
The motion on the floor is to approve the lighting district assessments at the 3% increase.
I approve the motion as
what percentage you guys were talking about?
So he moved to approve resolution 448, which the assessments on that resolution are at the 3% originally proposed. We didn't make any modifications. Further public comment? Any further council discussion?
Please, one more time, explain to me the repercussions to the individuals within these districts if we choose not to raise have the 3% increase. Are people going to, all of a sudden get, hey, we don't have enough money in reserves, and we're going to get a big bill? That's my concern. People aren't budgeting.
If we drop the increase to 1% or 0%, and that's that from 3 to 1, and 25 to 20 to the dollar difference for that the one is going up. The other assessments, if you look, even though we're assessing the other two districts, they're actually going down from last year, and so they're actually seeing a decrease. Two are just the same. Mm-hmm. Two are getting a decrease and one's going up just because they have a low fund balance. Mm-hmm. Now, if we get LED lights coming early, the electricity bill will go down. When we assess this next year, they're going to have a higher fund balance, and that will come in. They will spread the benefits for whatever the bill is, mm-hmm. based on the district. Mm-hmm. So, this is just we're trying to anticipate a bill and make sure we have the funds to meet it.
In the Creekside Lighting District, if you didn't change the assessment and you left it at the $1,400 and you didn't account for an increase, it appears that we would not have enough money to pay the bill. And that would be a problem because we're not allowed to do that. We'd have to shut the lights off. We can't go negative into a fund balance, or negative into appropriations, especially negative into fund balance. There is no way. What would happen is the next we shut the lights off, and then the next bill, we would assess whatever we went under, right? Mm-hmm. And so that would cause assessments to go way up because now we're trying to rebuild a reserve and cover the lighting bill at the same time. And that lighting bill there.
Well, I guess I need to say that's an assumption. Right. Again, we had a discussion about LEDs. We had a discussion about what the utility rate. That's an assumption. That's kind of like a scare thing, I don't think you're going to turn the lights off at Creekside. And if that did come to be, if this motion were to fail, the council can always go back and amend it. If it looks like that is going to be a major problem.
Well, the challenge is if you don't assess it now, it won't appear on the tax bills until next November, which means then you're playing catch up and we're running with a negative balance in the fund, which is a no-no, an audit finding. Ms. Holcomb.
Just be careful because that's the whole reason why Creekside is because there was too much money in that fund and they told us we had to quit funding that fund. So you can't hold a lot of money in that fund.
They were assessed last year. They were assessed $1,400.
I'm just saying you can't just keep adding money to it because they'll eventually turn around and tell us,
right,
you've got to quit putting money into that fund.
Yeah, and that's exactly why we're in the position we're in to change assessments. And then, the other two districts will probably see another year of no assessment before we start assessing again in order to hold the 25%.
I guess I would just speak for Creekside and Twin Creeks to take into mind how much extra revenue in the last 8 years has come into this town because those places were annexed. And everybody around those areas are not on city water and sewer. And they don't pay the city taxes. And you have a number of people that are contributing greatly to this community, with the homes in Creekside and the homes in Twin Creek. I personally, it's not, you know, yeah, I got to pay $20 more here and I got to pay $40 there. That's okay. That's the way it is. That's life. But I want to go back to the presentation last week that said in the budget there would be no tax increases. This is a tax increase, correct? Correct? It's a tax increase. It's going to be on the tax bill, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I think he was really asking more of a yes or no question. It's kind of the same question I got too. So if these go, if something happens, all these balances hit zero, we can't afford to have the lights on, is this going to reflect on our power bills?
How do you mean?
It like our,
who's power? The town's power bills?
No. Us as individuals.
No.
Well, if you can't pay the bill, just like anywhere else, right, the lights on. Now, that's what this bill's for, just for the lights. If you don't pay the bill, the lights go out.
Right. It will.
But it's assessed on a tax, right, so not on a power.
So if they turn your lights off, your bill will go down.
Oh, yeah. No, his question, I believe what the question was would be, if we didn't have enough money in there to pay the bill, would the citizens have to cover that from their power bills inside?
No.
Okay.
No, there's no mechanism for that. What would happen is in order to keep the bill on, I mean, we'd obviously come to council and say, look, we've got an issue. We've got a shortfall in this fund. The decision would be made whether do we shut the lights off and not pay the bill, or do we continue to pay the bill and go into a deficit in that fund with the anticipation that we'd then assess the correction in the next assessment. So we'll take further public comment and then I'll call for the vote. Ms. Barker.
I guess, you know, the problem I have, part of this too, is people are paying for the lighting where I live on a street that has no lighting. None, not even a hole. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're taxing all these other people. I turn on the porch light. That's my light.
And we can.
It's LED.
If the folks who don't have lighting in their neighborhoods want lighting in their neighborhoods, they can form a district, and we'd go through the same process.
There's somebody in the back.
It's the same. 308 10th Street, but I believe we may have one city light, but our monsters can come out and get us. No, we turn our porch lights on. What happens when the power goes out? He lived in Chinook, Montana, and they had a power outage for, 2 weeks? He's put his milk in a snowbank. We do what we need to do to survive. We bought a house where I'm 24, he's 25. We are on a strict budget. We keep getting hit with these taxes. We don't have kids in school. We're paying the school tax. You know, these things move along. It's not about lights for us. It's about whether we have a roof over our head.
Sure.
You know, that's what you also
do. Pretty soon we're going to become a Zula, where we're building taxes on top of taxes. We're living in Stevensville, Montana, and I'm driving the Zula to work, mm-hmm, because you can't afford to live in Zula.
Yeah.
And that's what we're getting.
At what point?
Our street has one light on it, and it works half the time. It needs a new light bulb.
Exactly.
I work for the state. I should do that stuff for a living. And I know what's wrong with it, but nobody comes around and fixes it.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, you say it's a dollar here, a dollar there, but that's the exact where the term comes from, nickel and dime. For people like us, a dollar is a dollar, you know. It's not a penny here, a penny there. And a penny saved is a penny earned. I mean, we have all... I can talk all day about it. It
sure
frustrates me. And I don't want to be, you know, rude. I'm just saying... you know, my piece, but for people like us, young members of society who are working full-time, both of us, and we end up back in a rental, you know, over things like this.
Okay. Can you state your names for the record, please?
Yeah, Fire Engler and Jason Engler.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a statement question.
Sure.
Is there anybody in the room that lives within these districts that has the lights on? Would you prefer a 3% increase or your lights being turned off?
I'd as well turn it off. The street we live on has one light, mm-hmm, and the rest of the street has none.
That's
right.
There's
probably 20 houses down the way, isn't there?
That's correct.
Uh-huh.
And I really don't think, you know, I could be wrong. I don't think we're going to turn off the lights. I think you would come, if there becomes a problem, the council meets twice a month. You could come back and amend this, as the mayor said. Yeah, if it turns out this, whatever, the sky has fallen, you could come back and make an amendment so the lights aren't turned off. I think that's just kind of, I don't like that kind of talk. Oh, well, if you want to turn your lights off, then you won't be in favor of this. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen.
I made my motion based on concern that individual families would end up with a lump bill, and that's not what I want to see. People have budgets. They can't afford an extra $30 a month coming out of nowhere. With information that I have, I would like to resend my motion.
Okay. You can send for the rescission.
I rescind my second.
Okay. So the motion's been rescinded. Is there an alternative motion on the floor? What else would you like to do? We've got to do something.
I'll make a motion for a 0% increase. Second.
Okay. So it's been moved to, just so I'm clear, your motion is to adopt the assessments with a 0% increase in utility bills. Okay.
Second.
And it's been seconded by Mr. Gibson. Further council discussion. Do you want to run those numbers real quick so we have something to pencil into the resolution? Can you just delete that column, Robert?
He was changing the formula.
Okay. Those are it? All right, the Twin Creeks assessment then, the resolution 448 will be amended to read: the Twin Creeks the Twin Creeks district will assess $2,600, assessed equally per lot. The Creekside district will assess $2,650, assessed by a percentage of lot square footage, and the Peterson addition Lighting District will assess $1,050, which will be assessed by a percentage of lot square footage.
So in other words, there will be no increase.
There will be no increase in the utility bill, but there will be an increase in levies, as demonstrated on the board. So Creekside, specifically, your levy will increase from $1,400 to $2,650.
For the Lighting District or for the levies when we do that later?
We're not doing levies, just lighting districts. So the amount you assessed last year was $1,400. We're proposing in fiscal year 20 that the assessment would be $2,650.
So with the numbers before, so a house that was 20 that goes to 40, what does that mean? It was going to go from 20 to 40 with the 3%. So now with zero, what does that mean?
Creekside is $2,650.
I'm just talking about the individual who pays it.
Yeah, and he's going to demonstrate it. Go up a box, Robert.
I started with that.
So there's a difference for it. I'm assuming most of the lots are average in that.
Some are bigger. So, but again, so what he said before, that it would go from $20 to $40 a year.
It's going
to 3%. So now what does it go from $20 to what?
$36.05 for if you have 1.3% of the square footage. So it's going from $19.05 to $36.05.
So why is it still going up if we just say we're not doing anything?
The only increase you reduced was the reduction in what we anticipated for the lighting bill. We didn't decrease the reserve amount in the fund.
We decreased the reserve amount from where it's at at the end of the year.
Right, we decreased the overall fund balance.
Paying the bill. That's just paying the land.
Okay. Call for the question.
All right, is there any public comment on the motion to the assessments as they're presented tonight? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Council Member Vick.
Aye.
Council Member Sherrod.
Aye.
Council Member Holcomb.
Aye.
And Council Member Gibson.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. All right. There are no mill levy approvals on this agenda item tonight because the budget hasn't been adopted, as previously explained. So mill levies will come for approval with budget adoption.
So Mayor, it looks like, or you feel that there's not going to be an increase in levies?
No, actually the number of mills that are being levied decrease overall.
And we still don't have any idea, I mean, I know that's, when is the school bond going to take effect on the taxes?
I don't know that. I'm not aware that the school has even sold the bonds yet, so that'd be a question for the district.
They have sold bonds.
Have they?
Yes.
Okay. So soon, I would imagine, on your November bill. All right. This is the portion of the agenda where we'll take public comment under the jurisdiction, anything under the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville or on tonight's agenda. Please step to the podium, state your name and address for the record. Ms. Lowell.
I'm Nancy Lowell, 211 Church in Stevensville. I was reviewing the town's investment sheet, and I noted that at Rocky Mountain Bank, you have your main account and money market. I was only looking at the general fund. And in that, there's $1,894,145. At today's interest, it's probably only getting maybe 1.8% along with the others, and which it's up to this administration to invest our money to your best ability and get the best interest that you can. So I was concerned about that, but I was also concerned when I looked through the budget and under the interest line item, there was only $19 placed on that line item. I'd like to know where the other interest money is going.
Okay, we'll look into it.
Okay, and then the other thing that I'm concerned about, and I have been for some time, is paying down the principal and interest on the sewer and water. I went through briefly, and I don't know, I hope these are added right, but they give you somewhat of an idea. There's in the CDs, like $747,000 in water that's been invested, and it's probably at a low interest also. Sewer has about $303,000. Now, to me, it would make sense to pay down that principal on both of them and probably take a couple of years off of that to help the citizens in this town. I think it's, if the interest rate was 12, 13, 14, whatever, that would be one thing, but I think I see this as a losing deal, it's just not being invested properly. And then I also wondered, it's just my own curiosity, I noticed on the budget under professional services, many, many, many of them were overdrawn or in the red. What are you putting in professional services?
We'd have to do a drill down to find out exactly what caused that.
I would like to know, because I noticed the police, many of them were, in the red. And also, as I went through the budget, I noticed that there were a lot in the red. And I don't know if you do it now, but I was taught that if you have those accounts and they are in the red, that it has to be brought to the council meeting and amended and recorded in the meeting for the auditor, and I haven't noticed that. So, and the only other question I had was, and I'm looking at the budget online, I haven't seen the other one, and I wondered if you were to get the money that you're requesting for the mayor's salary, it wasn't under the executive, and I wondered where it was coming from. I presume it's coming from zoning and planning, CDBG, maybe the TIF or whatever it is. And I'm sure you wouldn't be able to take it out of water and sewer because of certifications, but I did notice that it wasn't in the executive, so I was curious about
that. A portion of it is, and I can give you a breakdown of where it's coming from.
Very good. Okay. Thank you.
Should make a note of that, please.
Yes.
Any further public comment? Ms. Barker.
Stacey Barker, Little Four Winds. My question was that at the last council meeting, you had said we had some bids that came in for the airport. And from my perspective of the last meeting, those were going to be on the agenda tonight. And the special meeting was to have bids taken care of. And tonight we're sitting at a special meeting instead of a council meeting. I guess my concern is, you had specified we're down to crunch time on these approvals. When are you planning on bringing that forward for everybody?
I spoke with FAA today. They've again changed their schedule. They'll have a draft grant contract to us next week, and so we'll place that item on the 12th agenda so that some decision can be made at that on the 12th.
So is it just past that we're going to lose that bid?
No, the contractors all understand the FAA process, and the FAA is dictating when we meet and when these approvals happen.
Okay.
So because they're funding it.
I would also like for the public too, for clarification, when you specified that special meetings are for contract bids and stuff like that, you're holding a special meeting tonight. Clarification.
Thank you. Further public comment? All right.
I just have a thought.
Oh.
Could I?
Yeah, Mr. Tadvik.
I don't know whether to bring it up tonight or next week. Jim Tadvik, 509 Mission Street. Regarding your salary, $39,000, I went through the towns and leagues and towns, website or whatever, and picked out some communities. And Chinook, population 1,047. Thomas Falls, population 953. Three Forks, population 2,083. Townsend, population 1,941. I took all those communities, averaged them out. Average salary is $625 a month. How can you justify going out to $39,000? It's not in the cards. I just want to make that.
Okay.
Thank you.
I do believe there was some conversation earlier in the meeting of regarding whether or not the 6 o'clock hour versus the 7 o'clock hour worked for public. I know Mr. Gibson expressed some concern. So if anyone wants to speak in favor or against moving that meeting, moving next week's regular council meeting from 7 to 6 to accommodate the length of the agenda that night, this would be your opportunity, unless no one cares.
I'm good. I can make it work.
Okay.
So is there anybody in the public who would object to it being at 6 o'clock?
Doesn't work for me at all. I mean, quick as I need, it might be 6:30, quarter to 7, as a department head.
It's a department head.
Oh, okay. So let's go for 6:30.
Okay. Is there any further public comment before we close that portion?
I just have one more question, Mayor.
Sure. Okay, we'll close public comment. Mr. Gibson. Go ahead.
Nancy and I didn't get her left. Could you give us that information next meeting, the questions she asked about the $1.8 million and getting 1.8% interest and the interest line 19?
I think I gave out the information last week.
Huh?
Yeah, I did it again.
What's that?
Yeah, I passed out the relevant last week.
You passed this out, her questions? You know, please be,
no,
be respectful here. I'm just, I can't keep track of everything.
So yeah, I can say that a lot.
Okay, I would appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have that in some sort of format that you can digest. All right, so I'm guessing through council consent, we're okay to move next week's regularly scheduled meeting from 7 to 6:30. Give us a half hour kickstart. And we'll, at the very least, Jeff, if you're a little bit late, we're going to get through most of our business first anyway, because it's the same night as reports and everything else. So we'll undertake that. We can meet here at 6:30 on the 12th. Okay. All right. If there's nothing further for council, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.